The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
It's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Chris Kroc, from the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Across America, it's Red Eye Radio. I'm Chris Kroc, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. They will be back Sunday night / Monday morning, and we got so much coming up. We got a horrible police shooting that happened that we'll get into in just a moment. Then we have our preview of the big Democrat debate. This is the fourth one, and you know what's so funny about this? There are going to be more candidates on this one than the last one. Only the Democrats. Only the Democrats could actually increase the amount of people that are on the stage. And then we'll get into it. I can't wait to talk about Beto O'Rourke, the cultural appropriator. And there's no telling. He's the Real Clear Politics poll as of an hour or two ago. He's at 2.5%. He was at 2. But I think him calling for, hell yeah, we're going to take away church's tax-exempt status if they are not for gay marriage. Hell yeah. And we'll also take away your guns. Hell yeah. So I'll give you a little preview of the preview. Look for him to take away, to attempt to take away, or offer to take away another fundamental right of ours. A third one. He's going for a trifecta, a troika. So look for that. There's my preview of our preview coming up next. You know, who does this? Who does this? Who does a preview of the preview? And then we'll get into the Syria disaster. We also have the impeachment disaster. It's funny because today the president goes back and says, you know what, I'm actually going to re-undo what I was undoing by not removing the troops. And Adam Schiff says, well, I know we were going to have this whistleblower testify, but we actually might not have him testify. And, are you confused? I'm confused. Just remember, I can make it simple for you. Orange man, bad. Orange man, bad. But first, we have a police shooting that happened that's getting national attention. The attorney and family member were on CNN tonight. It's been all over Fox News today as well. And it's a sick and horrible, compelling story. As I do the show tonight, filling in for Eric and Gary, I'm wearing a Chicago police shirt that I'm proud to wear. Born and raised in the city. I know we're on WLS right now in Chicago. And I'm very proud of my support and love for our police officers, which makes it even tougher tonight because this is a shooting that I want to support, but I can't. And in that too, I want to get into the way that these are covered and the things that people say about them. Whether it is, this one is in Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, but whether it's in Texas or whether it's in Chicago, it doesn't matter. This neighbor, and I want you to really just picture this. This could be any one of us. This could happen to any one of us. Of course, they're making it about race, which is just makes me so mad. But just picture this. You see your neighbor next door. It's an elderly couple. It's 2:30 in the morning. Now, they have two cars in the front, which means they're home. They have their front door and their side door open. Their two front doors open, which is never the norm. It's 2:30 in the morning, Friday night into Saturday morning. And so you see that and you go, this is wrong. You know them. You love them as a neighbor, and you're concerned. So you call the non-emergency police to come out and do a check on it. Unfortunately, this is going to turn into a horrible nightmare. But let's hear the call from the 911 call. We've got, let's hear cut 4, 5, and 6.
What's going on there?
Well, the front doors have been open since 10 o'clock, and I haven't seen anybody moving around. It's not normal for them to have both of the doors open this time of night.
Okay. You know if anyone is inside?
No, I'm not sure. Both of the calls are there.
I want you to hear this next piece of this.
Are they usually home at this time?
They're usually home, but they never had both of the front doors open. Okay. With the lights on, like I can see straight through the house.
And we're going to hear one more piece of this call.
Well, have an officer come by. They're already being dispatched now, okay?
Okay, appreciate it. I mean, it's just not normal for them to have both the doors open this late for that long.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Not normal for this. He's concerned, right? So he called non-emergency police. The police arrive, but when you have an open structure call, which means the doors are open, something looks off, they don't show up because this is being billed to us as a, hey, neighbor. Hi, how are you? How are you, buddy? How you doing? Just doing a little welfare check to see how you are. Okay, at 2:30 in the morning, when there's something that's not right, you can call non-emergency and you can just call their welfare check, which is what they're billing this as. But the cops don't show up and pretend like they're Mr. Rogers swinging by their friend's house. So they park it quietly, or whatever, half block or whatever down the road, you know, nowhere right in front. They don't have their lights on. They're not being loud. They're not announcing. They're not going to the front door and knocking because it looks awry. Something looks amiss. So they go up, there's two of them, and they go, and they're quietly going around. And the one guy comes around, and he has his flashlight, and he's looking in the window, and all of a sudden the blinds go up, and he sees a woman face to face, and he says, "Hands up. And show me your hands," and then he shoots her. And it is horrible. It is the worst freaking nightmare that any one of us can have. It's a worst nightmare for both sides of this. It's a worst nightmare because for the cop side, it's in, well, we don't know if she's unarmed. We know there was a gun in the room. We'll get to that in a second. But it is a black woman who is 28 years old, college graduate, might be going to medical school, in her own house, with her 8-year-old nephew playing a late night video game. And because she's there and she's kind of new coming back or something like that, and the parents aren't there, they're up late and they left the front doors open, which you can do, it's your house. The cop is white. Go figure. Go figure. It's human error. Well, we'll get into that in a second. Go figure. So it's like, are you freaking kidding me? And your heart aches for everybody. The 8-year-old boy saw her die in front of him. He shot through the window. He was startled. Now, they're saying, well, he didn't yell, "Police." Dude, he shot right as he yelled it. He was startled. He was scared. He didn't do the right thing from whatever we have right now. And of course, everybody's already judged, jury, and executioner. Everybody already knows he's a racist. But and I want you to hear this pastor, because there is some truth into this. Play cut one.
It's sad enough that our young men are being killed. But when our women are not safe, as men in our community, we are called to stand up and protect the women in our community.
That's right.
And when our women are not safe, then it's going to get to a point that we can no longer be passive.
There you go.
At some point, we have to fight aggression with aggression. Mm-hmm. As pastors and Christians, yes, we're called to love. We're called to forgive. But we're not called to be fools.
That's right.
And it's time out for you to continue to kill the people in our neighborhood and expect us to be passive.
Now, this happened in Fort Worth, Texas, and 30 miles to the east of them is Dallas, where the Amber Geiger trial just wrapped up. A cop who went into the wrong apartment and shot and killed a black man. She's white. She's in jail for murder. And now this happens. It's unflipping believable. It is unflipping believable. The cop is a year and a half into his job. I think he just jumped, panicked, and shot. And one of the things I thought about, a lot of different thoughts through my head. I can't defend the shoot right now in any way, shape, or form. I don't think anybody is. He resigned before they could fire him, and the Fort Worth Police Department, when this happened, said they were going to fire him, but he resigned just ahead of that. Then they arrested him this afternoon. They charged him with murder, and he went to the jail. Within 24 hours of all this, he was arrested, booked into jail. He just bailed out. And scenes like this are happening all over the country, or, you know, racial tension and police things are happening all over this country. There's some things I want to write, and there's some things I want to wrong in this one that I want to share with you. Number one, they're saying, apart from this, they're saying this is all about race and racism, and black people are being shot and killed in their homes because just for being black. That is a lie. That is a lie. I love Eric and Gary because they're direct and they dispute the truth all the time with fact. One of the many things I love about them. Honor to fill in for them. One of the things that that is a lie in this kind of story is, too, they say, well, the numbers don't look good. Look at how many people have been shot in this city this year so far. And look how many are black. Those flipping numbers don't mean anything. Because the cops are going to respond on each call. If those numbers are numbers of people that are getting shot, you know, by cops that are rogue or something like that, then that's different. But the number of cops being shot and shooting people in your town, whether it's high this year or low this year, is irrelevant because that just shows you the number of thugs that are not obeying them or that are pulling their weapons out and threatening the cops. And our guys are, at the end of the day, our men and women are going to come home. And at the end of the day, I've got their backs and we've got their backs. They are us on the street. And so numbers are stupid. And race is stupid. The idea that this is a racial thing. The woman pulled her blinds open and then got shot. Oh, he had like a split second. Oh, it's a black person. I'm going to kill. Did he show up at the house to kill a black woman? No, he freaked out. Maybe it's because he was only a year and a half into the job. And one of the thoughts going through my head is, should this guy be hanged? Should we hang him? You know, you know what I mean? Look, I think firing the guy is the right thing to do. I think some kind of criminal charge is definitely understandable. But the idea that this guy's got to go to murder go to life for murder because it was a quick thing like that is ridiculous and stupid. We all know that. Now, my understanding is that murder is the proper charge based on what the laws are in this state, and that's fine. But I want to put to rest the lies about numbers being relevant. I mean, we could look at them. They're important to look at and all that. But the idea that, well, look how many cops have shot people. Well, that just tells you how many thugs, for the most part, are not obeying the cops. Unless you want them to get shot first. Chris, I think we should have a new rule now, and this should be the cops should get shot first, and then he can fire back. See, that is what a lot of people are ultimately going for here in this, and that's BS. And that's what I rail against. The numbers aren't important. What is important is each individual case, and in this case, it's freaking horrible. And they're also under attack. The police department is under attack because they have They showed a still of a gun. Apparently, in the body cam, there was a gun in the room somewhere. And they're like, well, how dare you can't show that? Well, it's relevant. Did she have it in her hand? Was she reaching for it? And by the way, she didn't do anything wrong. She was playing a video game with her son nephew at 2:30 in the morning. She hears something going on. She didn't know her neighbor called the cops. And by the way, the idea that her neighbor was like, you know, oh, this was just a welfare check. This wasn't anything that big of a deal. My butt. Why didn't the neighbor go over? Because he was afraid. You heard there. I don't see this stuff normally, he said, right? So, but it is relevant. But she had a right in her home to have a gun. She had a right in her home to point the gun at some idiot who's pointing a flashlight through her window unannounced. And here we are again. It's another story that is enraging people and creating racial strife and spreading lies. So I'm not going to try to defend this cop on this one, which is very rare for me. But if I can't defend it, I can't defend it. But I am going to attack the falsehoods that it's racism, that it's racially motivated. And I do feel tonight, for one of the first times in a while, I understand what that black pastor's saying about, well, if our women are being attacked, then, you know, we have to protect them. I have some sympathy on that. This is crazy stuff, y'all. Our number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. And we're going to continue talking about this, but then also I want to give you the preview, the full preview. I showed a little bit of leg, but I'm going to give you the full preview of the Democrat debate coming up tonight. With more people on the stage than the last one. Isn't that great? Only the Democrats. They multiply. They're like gremlins with water on their back. Across America. It's Red Eye Radio, and I'm Chris Kroc in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Chris Kroc in for Eric and Gary, Red Eye Radio, talking about this horrible shooting tonight in Fort Worth, Texas, white cop, black woman. Dan on Long Island, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, good morning. How you doing tonight?
Good, sir.
Yeah, you know, I'm a retired lieutenant from the police department, and 100 years ago before I went on, my father, who was on the weapons team for the police department in the city, said, never surprise anybody, make as much noise as you can. Your uniform is your biggest safety feature. Don't surprise anybody. And when I read how they conducted this, I didn't like the way they did it. But things happen when people have guns. Cops make mistakes. Civilians make mistakes. But what drives me nuts, and the cop should be fired. He absolutely did not do the right thing. I believe he panicked. He didn't have malice in his heart.
Right.
He just panicked.
Right.
But what happens now is that the media has what they love. A shooting involved a white cop and
right.
a black civilian. As I told you, Screener, 6 months ago in Texas, a white homeowner whose burglar alarm went off, did not know it, shot a cop coming through his door because he thought the cop was a burglar.
Right.
Now, because both parties were white, that didn't make the news.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, when people have guns, people make mistakes. It's not racial. Like you said, being out in the dark and this woman raised her shade, I guarantee this man had no indication who he was shooting whatsoever. He shot at a figure in the dark, which you should never do. He's 100% wrong, but I doubt he even knew who, what, or where he shot.
Right.
So it's the media is now going to take this and run with it. And with the case with the woman in the parking garage, which was understandable tragedy, a series of unbelievable events, that her door, she went to the wrong door, and that door was left ajar.
Oh, you're talking about the Amber Geiger one?
Right, because she testified that she shot at a figure standing in her living room. She didn't know the guy was black. It was a complete dark room.
I'm going to
make everything into a racial thing.
They did, and I'm going to give, and the same race pimp attorney in this one tonight out of Fort Worth is the same race pimp attorney that was with the Amber Geiger one, unfortunately. I'm going to give details on that one, just quick ones that a lot of people don't know. Dan, thanks for your service, and thanks for your call tonight. From Long Island. We're going to continue with this, and then we'll get into our preview of the next Democrat debate with more candidates than the last one. It's amazing. Now, your national forecast for Travel Centers of America.
Most of the day's precipitation will be in the deep south from Alabama over to Georgia and the Carolinas. We'll see the heaviest amounts of rain on the order of about 2 inches for some spots, especially near the Atlanta metro area. And that system will be sweeping showers back into central and portions of eastern Texas today as well. Another area for rain, Seattle, Washington, and then again along the upper Great Lakes. And we can't outrule at least a light shower today, possibly just cloudy conditions for from central Indiana in through Ohio and up to portions of western New York. Frost and freeze warnings for portions of the Midwest last night, and not as chilly tonight. We'll see temperatures today rebounding into the mid-70s from Illinois in through central Indiana and Ohio. Yesterday's high temperature in Indianapolis, 59. Today, 73. The roller coaster of fall weather. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Chris Kroc.
Across America, Red Eye Radio. Okay, before we get into our preview of the next Democrat debate tonight, a little bit more on white police officer shooting and killing a black woman in her own home who had no idea what was going on, opened, you know, just pulled the shades up. And there it goes. More community reaction.
This is why this is so hard to conceive.
And let's hear the other one, too. We have one other one.
It makes you not want to call the police department. Because not just Dallas or other incidents, if you don't have the what word am I looking for? If you don't feel safe with the police department, then who do you feel safe with? Do you just ignore crime or ignore something that's not right? They tell you if you see something, say something. They say if you see something abnormal, say something. Well, if you do that and you cause somebody to lose their life, it makes you not want to do that. And that's sad in today's society.
That's the neighbor who called the police saying something doesn't look right at the house. You heard the 911 call. And now he feels bad. And it's hard to blame him for saying, I can't call the cops now because when I did, my neighbor's dead now. And all she did was go, what the heck's going on outside? Because she had no idea. And shot and killed through a window. I have to agree with our last retired lieutenant who called in from Long Island that it's the guy was a bad shoot. But she's black, he's white, so now they're making it about race. And the race pimp attorney that they have said, quote, we believe that the fact that this was a black neighborhood had a role in their response to it. The fact that they showed up in SWAT rather than your friendly neighborhood cop, which is total BS. Total BS. And that's the promulgation of lies that I talk about in these kind of cases that become racially charged. Total BS. They responded properly. Somebody called at 2:30 in the morning saying my neighbor has got doors open. They never have doors open. Lights are on. I don't see anybody going on. It looks a little weird. Can you go check out what's going on? You don't stop by like the friendly neighborhood cop when you have an open structure call, meaning the doors are open, something's going on. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Paul in Virginia, you're live on Red Eye Radio.
Here's my comment. There are millions and millions of calls where white cops go into black neighborhoods and there's no incident. Okay, and we never hear about them because they're not newsworthy. Okay, but when a white cop shoots a black male or female, all of a sudden it's headlines. And the narrative is white cop racist. Okay, so the issue I have is when you comment that the pastor is right to say that they should be fearful of police or they have to protect their females. No, the reality is they have to protect females against black males because about 99.9% of the time, it's black on black crime. It's not white cop on black crime.
That's very true that you're much more likely to be killed by a fellow African American. That is very, very, very true. And the real problem in the black-on-black crime is the rot in the African-American family. Not with every, but in many. 72% of every black baby is born out of wedlock. When you're born out of wedlock, you're much more likely to go to prison, to be on welfare, to go to jail, to not graduate high school, to get to have sex before wedlock, to have children out of wedlock, the whole enchilada. And that decays and destroys a community. And that is why we have a huge amount of black-on-black crime being the biggest problem in the black community, unfortunately. You're absolutely right. But when you realize that this happened in Fort Worth, Texas, and 30 miles to the east is Dallas, where the Amber Geiger trial, did you know about that one? That's the police officer who went to the wrong door and shot and killed. Okay. So, yes. Just let me finish. Anyways, I can understand why he's like, dang, all the woman did was open a blind, see who the hell's in the side of her yard, open up the blinds, you know, who's got a flashlight looking in my house, and she's dead. So I understand him freaking out and being sensitive and concerned. But the Geiger trial, people don't realize about that one. So they're freaking out because it's two of these within 30 miles. It's like, what the heck? On that one, so many people do not understand how simple the story is. The Texas Rangers who led that investigation surveyed everybody on her floor and his floor in the Amber Geiger trial, where she went to the wrong apartment and shot and killed. Mm-hmm. He was exactly above her apartment. It was the exact number, just one floor up. Mm-hmm. And 23%, a quarter of everybody on both of those floors, have gone to the wrong apartment, gone to the door, and tried to open it. The only time was this time the strike plate on the door was malfunctioned and the door was ajar. So when she put the electronic key in there, it just opened up. And then she's coming home from a long day, a 13-hour day, as a law enforcement officer. Her left hand has 30 pounds of the stuff in it, her gear. Her right hand, she pulls her gun out. She says, you know, show me your hands, show me your hands. He was very, very high. And, I don't agree with getting high, but, you know, it's his house. He had ear pods in, and he came towards her. And she is 5'1". He is 6'3". I'm sorry. Yeah. So she's 5'3". He's 6'1". He's, you know, almost a foot taller than her, and got a big. He's a big guy. It's a horrific confluence of events. But that place.
Yes, she's convicted.
Yes. Well, actually, under law, in that one, murder was the proper proper thing to charge with. She should not have been convicted because it was a mistake of fact. The jury. So, anyways, but that's how that one went. But the idea that this was some, you know, if she was drunk or high. Then yeah, charge her with something and go to jail. But it was that was a miscarriage of justice. People don't understand why. Go ahead.
What I want to say is I was a cop in Southside Chicago for a year back in 1990. I had enough of that. I joined DEA. I ended up retiring from DEA. But one thing I can tell
you. My father was a police officer in Chicago for a decade.
Okay, great. My brother retired as a homicide detective. Anyway.
My father's good friend was probably chief of the homicide folks while your brother was there. But I'll be quiet now. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble if I keep giving too much.
Right. No, it's cool. But the thing is, there is so much crime, and you know, it's sad. There's so much crime. There are so many calls in these high crime, and it's a racial incident. But the fact is, in black neighborhoods, there's so much crime that there are so many incidents that the chance of something going wrong. Always is there.
The people that suffer the most in this cop hatred are the very people that we're talking about right now, because they are the ones to be preyed upon by their fellow folks of their community, because they're easy pickings and they're right there. And the cops are not; they are report takers. They are no longer being active because they can't, because of this garbage. Paul, appreciate your call.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks for your service in the DEA and police. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Joe, in the great state of Illinois, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I'd like to share a story with you. One day, broad daylight, I'm out painting the eaves on my garage. The house next door, the old man had died, and the house was vacant. And I lost my balance. I fell off the ladder, and it made like a thud, okay? And after that, I went in the house to get a beer. I come out into my driveway. There's three squad cars in front of this house. There's a cop right in my driveway with his gun drawn. And I walk out there, and I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And he's like, well, we got a call that, you know, from one of the neighbors that the house is being broken. And I'm like, buddy, I've been out here all day. I've been painting my gutters. I'm like, put that gun down. Yeah, and my whole point in this matter is that, you know, nosy neighbors should check into things before they call the cops. Because when the cops are called and they go out onto the scene, you know, they're put in a predicament where, you know,
you are absolutely. They have to do what they're doing in the way they're doing it. Me or you, as a neighbor coming over, are engaging, and we know each other. And so that's one of the things. The man who made the call, where now his neighbor is dead because he called the cops, feels guilty, and he's like, "Oh, I feel horrible," and this and that. Well, I mean, if he wasn't afraid and he didn't think something serious was going on, he shouldn't have called the cops. He should have walked over there, although it was 2:30 in the morning.
I understand that. And like I said, my situation was broad daylight. But when I came out into my driveway, there's a cop with his gun drawn. And I mean, he was aiming that gun.
People,
you know what I'm saying?
People don't. Here's the real problem in suburbia across America. This is a huge problem. People don't know their neighbors. They don't know their neighbors. They don't want to invest. They don't want to spend any time.
I agree.
And so they don't know what the heck's going on. And you need to know your neighbors. You need to recognize their cars. I call police actively because I want to be in a safe neighborhood. But in your case, I agree. My gosh, it's the middle of the day. You know, I remember playing. I remember playing wiffle ball. Growing up in the suburban Chicago neighborhood I was in, and one of my idiot jerk old folk neighbors called the cops on us. Like, what the, you know? Yeah, God forbid we should be outside playing, which they don't do that anymore, right? Oh my gosh. Okay, the next Democrat debate is coming up later tonight. Can you believe it already? And it's unbelievable. Like gremlins, they're multiplying. There's more on the debate stage tonight than there were on the last one. Now, that is a good Democrat program right there, right? Where you start with less and it's supposed to be winnowing and it's growing more. That is the Democrat. I mean, this is great. This would never happen with the Republicans. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, one of our Red Eye Radio executive producer, Brian, says they want to be vice president. So that's why they're hanging on. Well, I mean, do you want to have vice president if it's Beto? I call him Beto Hussein O'Rourke. It just flows. Hey, guys, I want to take away your guns. Hell yeah, I'm going to take away your guns. Yeah. And I'm going to take away your tax-exempt status. Yeah, if you're against gay marriage. If you support what the Bible says and what God says, I'm going to take away your, yeah. So is anybody to put that guy on their team? I mean, what would you put him in now? I can't believe when I see one of those, you ever see when somebody driving around with one of those stickers on there for that guy? Oh my gosh. I'm like, what, do you really, I want to pull up to somebody when they support somebody like him and I want to just go, hi. And go, hey, and I want to do it innocently, not mean, you know, innocuously, to use a big word. And I want to say, hi, do you really want to take away my AR-15 at like forcefully? Like, hey, hi, I go to this church. I'm an active member of this church, which I am an active member of a Bible-believing I'm a Bible thumping, knuckle dragging, clinging to gun and God Bible thumper. Do you really think my church should lose its tax exempt status because we believe what the Bible says is true? Hell yeah! I mean, do they support that? And if they do, great. Just be honest. Just admit you're hostile towards people that own guns, and you're hostile towards people that are Christians. And by the way, they don't go after Muslims and others. But you're next. You're easier to pick off. They're coming after us first. We're all on the table. And that thing with Beto Hussein O'Rourke with going after tax-exempt status, you have to understand that Jewish Family Services is an amazing group of folks. Even if I don't have the same faith, Muslim Charities does amazing things. And all of them are on the table for their tax-exempt status if they don't follow the Church of the Democrats, who do not worship God. They worship government. That's not a good place to be. All right. See, I'm on my pulpit. My Red Eye Radio, 250 stations across America pulpit. Filling in for Eric and Gary. This might be the last time they're like, okay, that guy is just shaming us. Ixnay, get him off the stage. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to give you the preview on the debate. And, of course, your call at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Across America, it's Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, Chris Crockin for Eric and Gary. Don, in the great state of Washington, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Great show tonight. Just excellent. My question is, if they do try to impeach our president or vote, does he not have some powers of calling witnesses, or does he have a
If
a subpoena?
That's a great power? Question. Not right now, because they're doing it surreptitiously and sneakily, because that's all they can do it. Once a vote happens, then Republicans will be able to be in there to ask questions. The president's attorney will be able to be in there to ask questions. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that kind of stuff isn't able to happen right now. That's why they're rigging it this way. Absolutely. We're going to get more into that as the evening progresses, the morning progresses. But so that debate, though, oh, my gosh, they grew more and more. There's more Democrats on the debate stage than not. It's amazing, isn't it? They multiply. Across America, it's Chris Kroc on Red Eye Radio, in for Eric and Gary.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Chris Kroc, from the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Across America, it's Red Eye Radio. I'm Chris Kroc, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. And, wow, it never ends. It never stops, does it? So much going on. We got this police shooting in Fort Worth, Texas, where a woman simply, the doors were open and the neighbor was concerned. It was 2:30 in the morning. Cops show up and they're quietly looking around because it looks a little suspicious. And she opens up her blind, saying, you know, who's out there? She opens it and the cop shoots her and kills her. She's black, he's white, so now you got one of those again. Horrible racially charged things. We have also the debate, the Democrat debate, coming up tonight. We're going to preview that. Biden's, oh my gosh, I got more information. Holy cow. I did not think, as I'm filling in all week, Eric and Gary will be back Sunday night / Monday morning, and I did not think I would have more for you within 24 hours on Joe Biden. I'm sorry, Hunter Biden. Joe's son. I did not think it was possible, but holy cow. Wait till you hear what happened when the South China News went and showed up at the office where Hunter works, supposedly. Hunter, quote unquote, works. We'll get to that in a little bit in our Democrat debate preview. And then we got this Project Veritas thing. And I'm always skeptical. I'm a skeptical dude, you know what I mean? They rigged some stuff and, you know, make it look this way or that way. Not just them, but anybody. Oh, I agree with them politically probably 9 times out of 10 of things, but you know what I mean? Sometimes like, you know, you're stretching here. But this is on CNN. And they have a couple of people that work for them who record the conference calls with Zucker and there's two or three different employees there that are talking about the bias of CNN. That's really regrettable to me. You know why? I mean, it's obvious, but it's regrettable. I used to enjoy, as a conservative, I used to enjoy CNN used to be that mainstream good source with slight bias, which is tolerable. But they are way over the top. You don't have to watch it even. You can just see it on the screen with the headlines, and you're like, okay, they're writing like a paragraph about Trump is Satan. I mean, you could truncate it by saying Orange Man bad. Trump is Satan. Trump, I think of the Middle Eastern people, during like the Iraq war with George W. Bush. Bush is criminal. Trump is criminal. My goodness. My goodness. On the debate, the Democrat debate, they have more candidates on stage than they had in September's. Only a Democrat debate would multiply. It's down to three people, really. It's down to Joe Biden, Gropey Joe, and Elizabeth Warren. She's a nasty woman. Do you remember that when she was with Hillary? I'm a nasty woman. My pawpaw said I have high cheekbones. I'm a Native American. I'm a nasty woman. I'm a capitalist to my bones. Bull, you know what? I can't say it. What would the fine be on 250 stations across America dropping the S-bomb? Not going to happen. I'm not going to be that guy. And Bernie Sanders, who had a grabber. What is a grabber? It's when you grab your chest, you have a heart attack. It's horrible. What? You don't? Grabber. You've never heard grabber. You ever heard that? A long time ago, somebody said a grabber. I'm like, what the heck is that? A grabber. You grab your chest. Oh, you have a heart attack. I don't know. Maybe it's from Sanford and Son. I don't know. Lamont, you big dummy. And Elizabeth Warren's not being all nasty with him now, with Bernie at all, because she wants, she knows she's siphoning away his vote. She's going to win. I mean, nobody going to vote for Bernie now. But, I mean, this is rich, because if she wins the nomination, which she has a very good chance of, I mean, it's over. Trump trounces. She is way out of the mainstream. You know, it's funny, she, for years, you know, her and her husband, when they started as professors at Harvard, when they showed up, they were not millionaires. 13 years later, a couple years ago, they became millionaires. They literally, as professors, became millionaires. While she cheered and chanted for and pushed for unlimited student loans and free college tuition because it made her a millionaire. And do you know that she stopped saying she was Native American right after she became tenured at Harvard? Literally, right after she became tenured. My pawpaw says I have high cheekbones. You know, I'm a European American. I mean, I don't call myself that, but, you know, I'm a Polish-Czech dude, right? Born and raised in America, but, you know, my grandparents, Polish-Czech. And they say that European-Americans, after that whole faux thing with her getting busted with the DNA, I would have hid that, man. I would have buried that freaking thing. Holy gosh, I would have buried that, right? Holy gosh, if I was her. No, she showed, look what I have. I'm 1,024th Native American. Yay! Look at me. I mean, you can't be more offensive. So European Americans actually have 18 times more Native American blood in their blood than she does. And I'm a European American. So that night on my program, I was celebrating. I was getting in touch with my peoples. I got a blanket, a peace blanket. I smoked a peace pipe, and I played Native American pan flute music in the background. Anyway, so she'll be. She was on an African American morning show, like a syndicated one, and they laughed at her. Did you guys ever see that? They laughed at her, and they said, "You're like the Rachel Dolezal." And she's like, "What?" She said, "What? I don't understand what you young black men are saying. What? Huh? I'm a millionaire." I don't know what? And they laughed. They all laughed. And they said, "You're like the Rachel Dolezal." I mean, that was that woman who was white and said she was black. "You're like that, but you're Native American." She didn't say anything because she didn't know. What do I say to this? They're black and I can't criticize them because they're black and I'm white. So she just didn't say anything. She kept going like, "What?" Oh, it was great. It was so awesome. Anyway, and then you've got Kamala Harris. She is done. Toast. She's got a weird thing. When she cocks her head a little bit, her face is like crooked. It's like weird. It's like, ugh, please just leave. Stage left, go bye-bye. She's so fake and annoying. Oh, Cory Booker, though, he is more fake and annoying. Cory Booker is contrived. And when he talks about his community, it's like, well, community? What do you mean, the predominantly white rich one you grew up in? Community, you freaking... What did you do? What did you do to the people of the town you were the mayor of in Newark? You hosed them and you left. You used them. You left them worse than they were before, like a Kennedy. And then we have Beto O'Rourke. Hey, I'm Hispanic. I'm almost as bad as Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like a little child. I get excited when I see, like, if I say, take away their guns, and you cheer, I go, oh, yeah, yeah, they like me. They're clapping for me. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to take away another fundamental right. Your faith. I'm going to take away the taxation of you. Yeah, yeah. He's at a 2.5%. He's excitable, though. The song, Warren Zevon, Excitable Boy. He's an excitable, you know, he's a man-child. I don't think anybody's going to put him on any post if they get the nomination. He's freaking done. Kamala Harris, I could see getting like Attorney General or something. Cory Booker, he's done. What do you do with that guy? Get out of here. But Joe Biden, we have some fun with Joe Biden on his son Hunter's business dealings. Oh, this is just amazing. Let's talk to Linda first. Our number, by the way, is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Linda in New York State, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
It was on the police call.
Yes.
I don't know legally if they could have first called the house. And if they felt they got the owner and explained to the person, your front door is open, that would have saved a life.
I think the only way that you would do that is if you're like on some kind of a homicide investigation, long-term thing where you've got phone numbers to call and make appointments or something. I don't think they do that. And not only that, but as a 28-year-old young woman, I don't know how many people even have phones. The neighbor doesn't have a phone. He called the cops and asked them to come do a check. So, I mean, I don't think that's realistic. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. There's a lot of hindsight stuff. We could all say, well, could have done this, could have done that, on almost everything, you know?
Yes.
I'm glad you're thinking about something. You're trying to come up with something. You know, you mean well. I just don't. Yeah. Well. Poor Gropey Joe. I'm going to be really direct and honest with you here, which is very unusual for me as a talk show host. But for me personally, I can't speak for anybody else. But I didn't think that this whole thing about Hunter and the corruption stuff would be the albatross around his neck that everybody was saying it would be. But it really is, actually really is really bad. It's really bad. I've got some more information about this that came out today. And I'm going to share that with you coming up next on what happens when a Chinese newspaper goes over to the company that Hunter is on that board. That he's going to resign. Not now, though. 2 weeks. He needs that last big fat check. Well, what does the company say when they ask him? Hey, they ask the company, what does he do? Wait till you hear what the response is. And when they show up at the office, wait till you hear what they see, what they find, and what the receptionist says. So we'll get into that coming up next. And also Bill Maher talks about Joe Biden, the lead dude. All that coming up next on Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Across America, Chris Kroc filling in on Red Eye Radio.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on proposed hours of service rules. Modifying the sleeper berth. In another proposal, by modifying the sleeper berth exception, drivers could split their required 10 hours off duty into two periods, with neither period counting against the driver's 14-hour driving window. The two periods would need to include one of at least 7 consecutive hours in the sleeper berth and another period of not less than 2 consecutive hours, either off-duty or in the sleeper berth. While the split sleeper change could allow additional flexibility, you need to be careful if this proposed change becomes final. The use of a split sleeper exception on consecutive days causes you to eventually sleep outside of your usual time for sleep. Maintaining a consistent sleep cycle is essential to driving safety and obtaining rest. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Chris Kroc in for Eric and Gary. They'll be back on Sunday night / Monday morning. Let's talk to Robert in Charleston, South Carolina, about the police shooting that happened in Fort Worth, Texas, where the guy, the cops showed up and the woman got shot right through the window. A horrible case. Robert, you are on Red Eye Radio.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that actually, I had been thinking exactly the same way that lady thought who just called in. And the truth is that as far as I know, the police have a complete list of all the phone numbers with the corresponding addresses. So they would have been able to call up, first of all. That would have been the right idea. And then put the phone down and then drop over casually, you know, just walk around a little bit around the house, not a little bit of a distance between them and the house, and just casually walk around and sniff a little bit around and see if the doors are really open and see if she finally closes the doors and see if there's a dog or a cat around or anybody else around and then come a little bit closer and see if you hear anything, that kind of thing. That's the way I would have handled it.
Okay, now, so you're saying that you think the police have your number right now, your local police?
The police have a complete list of all the numbers with the corresponding addresses, absolutely. I know they do. I know they do in Mount Pleasant, that's for sure. I presume that the whole country's like that. Okay. I can't imagine.
It's not. I don't even have a home landline in my house. How are they going to have my number?
The police have special access to that. They have to, because I know they had a situation one time.
No.
And I know that they had to have
it. No, they don't.
There's no chance.
No, they don't.
I know that they had mine. I lived in Mount Pleasant, and this was several years ago, and I know that they...
Yeah, and they, what'd they call you for?
I call them,
they probably had your number when you called them.
They had my number, that's right, when I called them. But the thing
no,
is...
No, yeah, because your number shows up on the caller ID.
Oh, I know that. But, I mean, as far as my address is concerned, I know that they had the address with corresponding number.
Thank you. This is one of the problems, too, is people don't have any, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be mean to this guy, but they have no idea what they're talking about. They don't have a list of your number. And people have new numbers and change numbers all the time. They don't have, there's not some, no. Unfortunately, every officer listening is laughing. And I'm not being mean, but no, dude. And then the way you made it sound was almost like you were joking. Like they should do a little bit of a dance and like serenade a little bit. Was it from what's that Jimmy Stewart movie from A Christmas Story? No, Christmas. Jimmy Stewart. Mary. Not A Christmas Story. It's a Wonderful Life, and where Fred and the other guy they're singing outside. They're serenading. Yeah, they sway back and forth gently by the moonlight. They sing. They serenade. No, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Open structure. Doors are open. They get a call, and it's 2:30 in the morning. They don't go around and serenade around. No, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, as the commercial goes. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Whew, my goodness. I wish it was that easy. Yeah, just call the master number. Oh, yeah, there it is. No, that's not how this works. So, as we are getting ready for tonight's debate on the Democrat stage, we have the Bidens and some more information about Hunter Biden's jobs, quote unquote, job as a business associate in Shanghai. What happens when a Chinese newspaper calls and goes over and goes to the office? What do you think happens? Because remember, Hunter is a fine man. As we learned last night, he bedded down with his dead brother's wife within 4 weeks of him dying. That's how you comfort your sister-in-law. When your brother dies four weeks later, you bed your sister-in-law. Who knows? Maybe it was during the funeral, you know, moment of weakness. They started making out. I mean, what the heck is this? Who does this? Who does this? So we'll get to that coming up next. More people on the police stuff want to talk to us, which is great, on that horrible call, the horrible instance with the police department in Fort Worth, Texas. And Bill Maher, did you hear what Bill Maher said about Joe Biden? You know, I can't stand Bill Maher a quarter of the time. I actually respect the guy because at least he's totally, you know what I mean? Totally just says it, right? A guy like me's got to respect a guy like that. I do. But half the time, he's really right down the middle, man, in what he says. And he does it with Joe Biden. I love it. All that, you'll be able to hear that next.
Lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Chris Kroc.
Across America, Red Eye Radio. Eric and Gary back Sunday night / Monday morning. And as part of the whole preview for the debates, too, Hunter Biden, his corruption, it's not good. And Bill Maher and his comments in just a second. And then we'll get into Project Veritas, getting some CNN dirt, which is pretty good. We've got some audio for you. So that's what we got ahead. But let's talk with Jim in Fort Wayne, Indiana, as the East Coasters would say, right? Is that right? We have one of our colleagues here is an East Coaster, Indiana. Or is that more like the British one? I mean, there's one of them that say, you know, like they say Madonna in Indiana. I think it's a British thing, maybe, not an East Coast thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Something's wrong with me. Yeah. You know, I grew up in the Midwest in Chicago, and I used to think that I used to think when I was an aspiring broadcaster back in the day, I used to think that we were the ones who did not have an accent. Boy, was I wrong, right? Yeah. That's funny. But this horrible police shooting, too, that happened. Let's go to Jim in Fort Wayne. Our number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Hey, Jim in Fort Wayne.
Chris, how are you this morning? Thanks
Good,
for
sir.
Taking my call.
Good, sir. It's God's country over there.
It is. I love the Midwest. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be driving through Chicago in about 2.5 hours.
Well, you know, one of my friends says, come for the food, stay because you got murdered.
No, terrible. Anyway, I'm a retired police officer, and I've been on calls like the one that this officer was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I always preferred to have somebody with me if I was going to go into a house. You know, you've got a neighbor calls in that says this residence is unsecured. It's uncharacteristic of the resident,
right,
to do this. So,
and he did have somebody with him. He had a partner, and they both quietly walked around the perimeter checking it out with flashlights before they were unannounced. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they probably should have announced. I mean, that's something we would have done. We typically like to walk around the structure and make sure there's nothing else going on, and then go to the nearest open door and call out a verbal challenge.
Okay, so they didn't go to the
department. We're here.
Okay, they did. This is interesting. So they didn't get to finish the part of going around the perimeter first, because as they were going around the perimeter, the 28-year-old African-American woman who's in there, and I hate to bring race into it, but they're making it all about race, so I have to, because the cop's white and she's black, so they're making it about that, which I totally am mad about, but that's part of the whole narrative. Okay, so as he's walking around, the neighbor called and said something's off here. It's 2:30 in the morning. The doors are open in the front. That never happens. There are elderly people. Both cars are there. Something weird's going on. And so they quietly pull up. They don't pull up right in front of the house. They're doing a perimeter check. And then after that, like you said, you would knock and say, hey, is everything okay? They're doing the perimeter check. His flashlight's out. looking around, and all of a sudden he's like right there at the window, and she's right there at the window. She pulls open the blinds, and oh my gosh! And he goes, you know, he doesn't yell police; he just yells, "Show me your hands!" and shoots her. And
yeah, that, you know, those things require a tremendous amount of restraint, and the it's tragic. It breaks my heart to hear about it because I, you know, of course you've got an innocent person who's lost their life. On the other hand, you've got somebody who probably could have maybe used a bit more training.
What do you what do you do? Restraint. What do you do? He didn't have a gun in his hand. Obviously, he's got. You can hear him pull that out real quickly as a wonderfully trained officer in that regard for the draw. You know, whoosh, comes right out, and then boom. What do you do in that situation? You're doing a perimeter check. All of a sudden, it's the window, the blinds. The shades come up, and you're like, ah, you're startled. What do you do? And I know it's easy to quarterback, but do you pull out your gun and yell, you know, hands up and not shoot? Or what do you do? Well, you're startled. And this, it could be the perp. You don't know, right?
The way I did things, and most of the people I ever worked with, you know, you in some cases, if you're a little on edge about things, you're going to have your weapon out in advance, but you're going to keep it at the low ready. You're going to put your flashlight on the individual and announce who you are. You know, police officer, show me your hands. And you, if they've got their hands concealed, you still don't fire unless they make a move that you regard as you know, credibly threatening toward you or another person.
Now, there's a gun in the they froze the there's a video. You can see a gun in the room. Doesn't mean she had it in her hand. If she did, it would be her right. It's her house. She didn't know the cops were there. She didn't know who it was. It was right. You know what I mean?
At that point, you're balancing the right of the individual to self-defense in their home, to you know the officer's concerns about you know potentially not going home at the end of the night. It's just bad all the way around. I mean, there's so much unfortunate, heartbreaking stuff in this that.
So you're saying the guy should have? He was about. It looked like he was a foot or two from the window, walking by, and then all of a sudden she's startled, opens up, and boom, everybody's startled, and he shoots her. So he should have kept the light on her like he did, kept his gun at the low ready, and not pointed it at her and said, "Let me see your hands." You know, police, let me see your hands. Instead, he said, "Let me see your hands," and then just shot. So he probably just freaked out with startled and shot, which he quit before they could fire him, and they've charged him with murder. He was booked into jail, and he was just released on bond. Talk to me. Go ahead, Will.
In terms of positioning, I'd have been quite a bit further away from the window. A foot is so close that anything that moves at all, you're going to perceive as a greater threat than you would, say, if you had 15 feet. You know, take a good walk around.
In his defense, it may have been one of these houses that are so close together.
And I've been on those.
Yeah,
you want to use the distance if you have it available, but you know, if you're that close to something, you're that close to a window. You're not going to spend very much time in front of the window.
Yeah, get to the side of the window or something.
Get to the side of the window and make your transition across that open space fairly quickly. You're going to use. You know, the observation skills. When I went through the academy back in 89, our academy training actually included a class called observation skills, where we were flashed images of different things. One of the ones that we used most often was just a sequence of numbers. And we found out that by the end of this training, in 1/60th of a second and even 1/100th of a second, I could routinely catch 8 digits in a numerical sequence.
Wow.
It happens that fast. And what you're doing is you're training the brain to record those images so that you could write them down later on. At that time, professional athletes were using training like that to even spot the rotation of a baseball and know what type of pitch was being thrown.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if we train for that anymore.
What do you say to the person that called them? Well, they have the numbers. They just call them on the phone, or they should just what was the other one? We had a lady who called in. These people, meanwhile, but it's like, dude, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You don't have people's numbers. You don't call people's houses on this. You go and you walk around the perimeter to see what's going on in there, right?
Right. You're going to walk around the perimeter because a lot of times, as you said earlier, most people don't have a home phone anymore. I haven't had a phone in the house for probably 10, 15 years.
Yeah. So, well, no, I'm telling you, they got yours, according to that one guy. No, they got it. I'm telling you, they got it. I'm like, come on, dude.
If you've ever had contact with the police and we've collected your number, depending on the database that the department uses, if you've ever called in anything, we've collected your number and we've attached your telephone number to your numerical street address, we may have it then. But at the same time, people are transient these days.
Oh, yeah.
You may have changed addresses a couple of times. We're not going to have an updated list. At one time, you might have been able to get that from the phone company.
Yeah.
Days,
Jim, I'm really so grateful. Transient. I'm sad that you're not a cop anymore because you got a wonderful, wonderful, level-headed mind with a lot of information. Thank you for your service tonight, and enjoy your retirement. You've earned it.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for your service, too. Let's talk with Nick in Detroit City. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, another retired police officer here.
Thank you for your service. Love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, part of this is generational. Back in the 1990s, Hillary Clinton and the whole liberal movement told us that parents should be their kids' best friends and not to challenge their kids and not to be too authoritative toward them. And then what I saw was these same parents did not teach their children to respect any type of authority.
Right.
Whether it be school, coaches, whatever.
You're becoming the parents for them as an adult when they should have been treated that way as a child.
But the thing is this. So these kids who later grew up to become cops.
Right.
They never were challenged. Hmm. Nobody ever confronted them. So they have zero experience at dealing with confrontation. Which is why these new cops out on the street, they got a gun and a badge, and the moment somebody says boo to them,
they freak out.
Or does not do what they say, these guys are reaching for a weapon and pulling out a taser, which doesn't work 9 times out of 10.
Right.
And they're pulling out their gun when they shouldn't. These are kids that have never, ever been in a fight before in their life.
This guy has a year and a half on the job, and he's like 34, I think.
Yeah, and these are guys that never, ever... Most of them never played a contact sport. And let me tell you something. For the place that I worked, where I was pretty much out there alone because the other two guys were old and they just kind of drove around and did nothing. and I had to deal with the 12 crack houses and the 400 trailers all on my own. You know what I'm saying? Playing defensive back my whole life, running back and the defensive back skills I learned playing football probably saved my life about 1,000 times. It's about footwork and body positioning and leverage and knowing when to commit interference. I used to train these guys. They never played any sports. They had zero passion, zero intensity. They just wanted to put on their Facebook page that they were a police officer. These guys and the people teaching at the academies now, all they do is tell these kids that they're going to get killed or they're going to get sued. Well, guess what? You're going to get sued either way, whether you do something wrong or not. You can be perfectly in the right, and you're going to get sued. The guys who teach at the police academies are usually the biggest wussies in the world of their department.
You know what's amazing?
They're the guys. They went out and they got all their education and their degrees.
Textbooks.
And they don't care. They never cared a thing about actually fighting crime. They go out and write traffic tickets.
You know what?
They go out and bust some people for drunk driving. But other than that, they avoided problems when on the road.
It's like the professor in college when I went and was studying. I mean, I didn't just study radio and TV stuff because that was stupid. I knew enough then. So I studied like English, philosophy, and other things. But I still had one or two broadcast courses so I could learn the trade in college. And, There's a gem of a professor here and there. There's one for me, but other ones are like, yeah, it's gonna suck. You're gonna get nothing, you know. They've never really worked it. They worked it for a year or two. They don't know what they're doing. They're academics. Same thing with critics,
exactly.
Media critics. You know, they write about how great we are, how much we suck as radio guys or TV guys, and they never could hold a jockstrap to and do a radio show for. You know what I mean? They never did anything with real accomplishment, but yet they're the ones criticizing us, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And these guys that are teaching these cops are just, for the most part, are pansies.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I know my taser comment's going to get some taser instructor to call.
Your taser comment's right. I've been tased.
I've seen them not work more times than I've seen them work.
I've been tased live on the air as a supporter from back in the day when they were ultra controversial, and to show that I support it and everything like that. And if the prongs that they go out, and if the prongs don't hit, make both of them make contact, you know, it doesn't work. And so people are stupid with stuff like, oh, they should have tased him. No, because if they've missed it and the guy's going to get them and take them down, they got a weapon on their person. They're going to take the weapon and use it against them. I'll tell you this, though. I got a great memory as a 5-6-year-old boy. My father at the time had retired already as a Chicago police officer, and he was instructor. He was one of the ones that was good because he did it for 10 years on the streets in the city of Chicago. And I had the privilege of him taking me to work one day, and he was the head of the criminal justice department there. And he was teaching them how to make arrests, and there was mats, and there was, you know, the flex cuffs they're putting on them and stuff like that. And back in the day, he did like judo and stuff. I got a friend who's a police officer in Atlanta. I got a friend who's in Chicago, and they do the physical and the training and stuff like that to keep themselves prepared, because if somebody gets them on the ground and they got to wrestle or they got to do something, they got to know how to get out of it. And so you're bringing up some good memories and sharing some good wisdom. I love hearing from our cops. I love you all very much and appreciate what you do. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more coming up next about I'm going to get to this Bill Maher comment and such. All that coming up next. It's Chris Kroc on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Hunter Biden in trouble, not at the office, and the debates, Project Veritas exposing more. Bill Maher speaks the truth on the Democrat candidates, all that on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Chris Kroc. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Across America, Red Eye Radio. And Eric and Gary will be back Sunday night, Monday morning. In the meantime, we have a police shooting that is just horrible that we've been talking about. White cop, black woman, and just it was a regular call to go look at, there's no such thing as a regular call, but to go do a welfare check, and ended horribly. Also, Biden, I promised to get into that, and we're previewing the debate coming up tonight. More Democrats on the stage than the last one, which is amazing. Who knows what Beto O'Rourke will promise to take away. Which right he'll promise to take away to try to go up from 2% to 2.5%, which is what he went to, maybe get to 3%.
Oh, I will support extreme late-term abortions. Like, if you don't want the kid and they're like, 2, take him out.
Something like that, I don't know. Bill Maher is actually being intellectually honest. And, you know, he sometimes is really, 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 really appreciated and spot on by me, because in cases like this where he talks about Joe Biden.
I like Joe. He's never my favorite. But if he's the guy to beat Trump, I was like, let's not kill him, because if he's the one. But I must say, my confidence that he can beat Trump is waning. He looks like a depreciating stock to me. I'm not trying to get Joe out, but we do need someone in the center,
yes,
who's, say, younger and femaler.
I like that. Just just speaking what comes into your mind. I'm used to that. That's kind of what I do. So, but yeah, Joe is a depreciating asset, depreciating stock, and he knows it. That's why Barack Hussein Obama said, "Joe, you don't have to do this." Remember that? He said that's what he said, "Joe, you don't have to do this." That was his way of saying, "I love you, dude, but you should not run. You will not win. You're going to embarrass yourself. Joe, you don't have to do this." Poor guy. Michael Jordan. Remember he came back from retirement? And he came back and then he played for a year or two. It was horrible, right? Oh, I mean, that's like the ultimate. Dude, what are you doing? No, right? Here comes Joe. "Hey, wait, you need more Joe." No. You and Dr. Jill. Not Jill Biden. We don't want to call her Dr. Jill. Don't you love that? Maybe we could add Reverend Doctor to it. Reverend. Reverend Dr. Jill Biden. Amen. Joe is really in trouble with Hunter even more. He really is. Because people are not letting up on this thing and on these this corruption. And look at this. Column by James Freeman today in the Wall Street Journal. And not even the Biden family seems willing to stand behind their questionable financial arrangements. A business associate in Shanghai doesn't seem to have an explanation either on what he does. So here's the deal. The South China Morning Post went over to the company that Joe Biden or Hunter Biden is a board member of, making all these thousands and or millions of dollars, whatever it is. And the company has repeatedly declined to elaborate on the younger Biden's role at the firm. He will not say what his role is, but he will accept the check, right? When contacted by the South China Morning Post via phone, mail, and visits to the office, they refuse to say what his role is. But Jonathan Lee Zhengsheng, the firm's chief executive and Hunter Biden's partner, has said the company was working on an explanation about his role. They're working on an explanation about his role. I mean, they can't even say, "Well, we're working on it." How do you say bribe? How do you say in English pay for nothing for name recognition? Hold on, it gets better, much better, much better. It gets like wow. Ready? Here we go. A recent visit by this South China Morning Post newspaper to this Chinese firm that Biden's a member of, you know, the Hunter Biden's a board member, partner, very important partner. A recent visit to the firm's registered address in Beijing. This is so great. Found a small, plainly decorated office where a receptionist said she had never seen Hunter Biden. She's never seen him. She said, quote, "I don't know what a Hunter Biden is." I'm just kidding. That was me. That was my fake news. I was adding it in. 866-90-7-33-39. 866-90-RED-EYE. Chris Crock in for Eric and Gary, having a lot of fun. Hopefully they're resting and having a good time with the family, whatnot. More than 5 years after going into business with Hunter Biden, his associates, says the Journal, in China are still, quote, working on an explanation for his role. 5 years, and they have no idea what to say he does, what his role is. 5 years. And then an op-ed over the weekend from Jonathan Turley, the law professor from George Washington U, who is a liberal but straight shooter on many issues, I appreciate him a lot, actually, because he tells the truth. When I agree with him, I love it. When I don't, I just kind of ignore it, right? But Turley says, when he wrote in the column, when President Trump turned to the Bidens and the Ukraine speech, he talks about how all the liberal media folk just ignore the allegations of Hunter Biden to their own discredit. He says, when Trump turned to the Bidens and Ukraine in the speech, MSNBC host Nicole Wallace cut off the coverage, declaring she had to protect the listeners. Quote, we hate to do this, but really, the president isn't telling the truth. And you're too stupid to figure it out for yourselves, right? I mean, you know, we have to stop this. When Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, tried to answer a question about the Ukraine scandal by referencing the Bidens, Meet the Press host Chuck Todd angrily told him not to gaslight the nation. Don't gaslight the nation. You know, you can't bring up the whole thing about the Bidens and Ukraine. When Rep. Lee Zeldin from New York, Turley writes, Republican from New York, raised the issue on CNN with host Aaron Burnett, she cut him off. There's no evidence of Joe Biden doing anything wrong. This is something that has been looked into. It's like the global warming crap. This is settled science, right? Climate change is settled science. Yes, that's why you keep changing what you call it. It's settled. That's just so funny. So Freeman says in his column, a simple question, what did Hunter Biden's overseas associates think they were paying for? Right? They're paying him all this money, and they don't even know what he does. You go to the office, the woman who runs the office for him says, what is a Hunter Biden? What is that? What? Wow. Larry in Chicago, listening on the great WLS to Red Eye Radio. Hello.
Yes. You had two former callers, and I want to echo what they said. I want to bring up one more point. I think both of them were ex-law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other thing that I would like to throw in that's really important. If you have been a military policeman or even an infantry, you've got an edge over any of these guys who sat around playing video games or watched Chicago PD and said, oh, that looks cool. I get to shoot a gun all day long. You learn you don't just go and start shooting people. You better know darn well who you pull that gun on. Even a hunter safety course, you know, that you teach a 13-year-old kid, you teach them. You do not aim that unless you plan to shoot it. The problem is with police work, often you do aim a gun, and you have to, because the other guy is acting out, or he is also armed, and you want him to drop his weapon.
It's a de-escalator, and it's also a protector if you do have to fire it. You have to be, yes, ready to go. Were you a military police officer, you said?
No, I was not. I actually worked with them, but I worked traffic years ago out of the Fort Wayne district. And some of the guys that you meet there, I mean, you're just having like a traffic stop in some of these guys. And I'm not talking about, you know, chasing the guy down. I'm saying like you got a four-way stop going on because the traffic signal's down. You got some guys are ready to shoot. And this is 40-some years ago. Some guys are ready to shoot people right then. I don't know how in the world they ever got on, to be honest with you. But I'm sure it's got to be worse now because... for one thing, everybody's carrying an automatic instead of, you know, the 357 Magnum, which I still think is a great caliber.
Wait a minute, an automatic? You mean a fully automatic?
You're a 9mm automatic.
You mean a semi-automatic. And they're not carrying 9mm if they're police officers. They're probably carrying a 40.
40, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although some do carry 9mm yet.
Yeah, well, some departments I think might, but I know that as far as stopping, you want the 40. I appreciate your call. I prefer the 9, and that's what I roll with. When I go bowling, I'm the wimp. I don't like the heavy ball. So I go and I find the lightest ball that my fat sausage fingers can fit into, and I pick that one, the kiddie ball. And even after when I get towards the second game ending, I'm like, my arm hurts. I'm done, right? So with the 9 is more than enough for me. And that's going to stop. That's going to do what you need to do. It's going to shoot. It's going to stop the threat. I'm not all about that. The 40 is too. I mean, it's fine. I mean, great. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. But so we also have Project Veritas. This James O'Keefe coming out with undercover video from CNN. We're going to get into that coming up next. Plus your call at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Across America, this is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Police shootings, this one in Fort Worth, Texas, and talking about that and the debate coming up tonight with the Democrats. Also, Project Veritas, and I don't just take everything they do at face value, but they got CNN. And well, let's hear the little piece of audio that they got from CNN.
I think that shootings in poorer areas or minority communities don't get as much coverage as if they were to happen in a white area.
So CNN doesn't cover a shooting that happened in a black neighborhood the same that they would cover a shooting in a white neighborhood?
I think if it were a mass shooting, like if it were like 20 people killed, they would cover it. But if it were like two people killed, like in a gang-related violent shooting, they're not going to really care.
They got a whole bunch more stuff. More damaging to me personally is showing this guy, Kerry Porch, says he was a satellite uplink tech at CNN's Washington Bureau before. His dream job quickly turned into a nightmare due to CNN's blatant bias. I don't care about MSNBC, okay? I don't care about them. Let's just stay very focused on impeachment, says a person identified as Zucker, the company president of CNN, Jeff Zucker. We shouldn't just pretend, oh, this is going one way, so all these moves around are toward impeachment. Recorded several of Zucker's calls. Claims that Zucker runs the daily meeting with an iron fist. This guy Porch, who said he worked for CNN, that Zucker runs the daily meeting with an iron fist aimed directly at hammering Trump. Also, you hear him ordering, I guess, going after and attack Fox News. Porch said he decided to wear a hidden camera because of CNN's perceived bias. Secretly recorded Zucker's 9 a.m. rundown conference call because the network was pumping out propaganda. It's basically me wanting the news to be what they used to be, the news, not infotainment or game show or chasing the ratings, he told O'Keefe. CNN purports it to be facts first, and that's clearly not the case. I noticed, he says, after there was a strong groupthink that permeated throughout the halls and everyone was on board the I Hate Trump train. I'll give you some more details on this, but and my thoughts on this. But there's some of what's being released tonight. Let's talk to Tom in Kansas City. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just great. Weather's wonderful.
Well, there you go.
My question is, Chelsea Clinton. Where does she get her money, and does she have a cushy gig like Hunter?
Well, actually, Chelsea Clinton was paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, I believe, to be a once a month, hanging out with rich folks that are famous and interviewing them for, like, was it NBC or something like that in the morning show? And her parents are Bill and Hillary, and so she's rich. And I don't know if you heard, but there's an 82-year-old woman in her district in the Bronx and other areas of New York that is retiring, and she is now reportedly going to be taking that slot. It's hers for the taking.
Well, does she take the spot, or is she elected to the spot?
Well, I mean, she's a Clinton. She's going to take the spot. That's hers.
Yeah,
whatever she wants. And then she's gonna avenge her mom. You know, her mom's amazing. She's the first. She broke a huge glass ceiling. First woman ever run for president a few times and lose. No woman's ever run as many times as she has and lost. I mean, she broke that glass ceiling. She smashed it. And then, you know what's funny, though? Her mom, Hillary and Chelsea, were doing an interview the other day. Read this in the Daily Mail. And they were asked, about gender, you know, euphoria, whatever, identifying as a different gender. And they asked, if a man has a beard and a penis, is it okay if he identifies as a woman? Is he a woman? And Chelsea said, yes, that is a woman. And Hillary, like, cringed. And she sold out the people who identify as whatever they want to, as a porpoise or a turtle, or in this case, a man with a penis and a beard that's saying he's a woman.
Wow.
I want you to know that you're talking to a walrus. I am the walrus. Goo, 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 goo.
You are. Well, I just realized that, you know, the nepotism in my industry is nothing.
Yeah. This is the gift that keeps on giving, Clintonistas. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. So I'll give you the details on Chelsea Clinton and the seat and her mom that I shared with you. And I'm going to give you the more details on the Project Veritas facts unfolding, dirt on CNN. All that is coming up next. Now, your national forecast.
Most of the day's precipitation will be in the deep south from Alabama over to Georgia and the Carolinas. We'll see the heaviest amounts of rain on the order of about 2 inches for some spots, especially near the Atlanta metro area. And that system will be sweeping showers back into central and portions of eastern Texas today as well. Another area for rain, Seattle, Washington, and then again along the upper Great Lakes. And we can't outrule at least a light shower today, possibly just cloudy conditions for from central Indiana in through Ohio and up to portions of western New York. Frost and freeze warnings for portions of the Midwest last night, and not as chilly tonight. We'll see temperatures today rebounding into the mid-70s from Illinois in through central Indiana and Ohio. Yesterday's high temperature in Indianapolis, 59. Today, 73. The roller coaster of fall weather. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Chris Kroc.
The whole situation in with Turkey and Syria is not working out well at all for Donald Trump. We'll get to that in just a little bit. You know, what's funny is I saw, not funny, but I saw that Nancy Pelosi and what's his name, Lindsey Graham, working on a joint resolution. And McConnell has spoken out too. He's like totally outraged, and you know that Trump is throwing all of our allies under the bus. They work on this resolution, and if it passes, here we got. She's working on a resolution with Lindsey Graham and calling on the president to overturn the decision to withdraw troops from Syria. If passed, says the Wall Street Journal, the Democrat-controlled House and GOP-led Senate wouldn't on its own have the power to reinstate the troops, but they're still looking at that. Majority Leader McConnell also condemned it, saying it's going to recreate the very conditions we have worked hard to destroy and invite the resurgence of ISIS. Do you think all these people are just saying this crap for the heck of it? And did you hear that Trump actually reversed himself today on the 1,000 troops? Well, I read that one of the problems is all the roads are cut off and the 1,000 can't get the heck out of there unless we extract them by air. This is what happens when you shoot from the hip on some things. I love this president. He has my vote even more than he did last time. But he is getting his bleep hand it to him on this one, as he should, because we should not have pulled those folks out. The tariffs he was looking at doing, importing on Turkey to steel going up to 50%. Trump said Turkey's military offensive is endangering civilians and threatening peace, security, and stability. I've been clear with President Erdogan, participating in a humanitarian crisis and setting conditions for possible war crimes here. Turkey's, what Turkey's doing here. You shouldn't let this happen to begin with. One of the things I said yesterday morning on Red Eye Radio, filling in for Eric and Gary, they'll be back, by the way, Sunday night, Monday morning, is did Trump know this was going to happen when he did this? He said, well, it's going to be your problem, Turkey. If you do this, you're going to have to guard ISIS. You're going to have to, this and that. And, I'm done with it. And we didn't want to be in the mire and quicksand. And, dude, you done wrong on this one. And so today he reversed his decision, saying that he's not going to remove the 1,000. And I'm like, well, good. Looks bad, but good. You got to do what's right, which is to not do what you did. And you shouldn't have pulled the 50 out either that were there. And, folks, and by all means, and I'll tell you that I loved, we had a really, and all credit to you, and we had an amazing discussion last night, but yesterday morning, we really did. Like, I loved it because many of you stimulated me and made me think about some different things. And one of the things, you almost had me too, because enough people called in and said, well, wait a minute. He might know. Here's the thing. We almost got me in a good way. He may know something that we don't. He may know something that we don't, and what's going on. And then I heard the president a comment a little later, and the way he was, manhandling it, like, as in, it made me go, maybe you guys are right. But what did he do today? He said we're going to keep the 1,000 there. You know why? Because he found out that this is really bad, and he's finding out what's really going on. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Also talking about the police shooting in Fort Worth, Texas tonight. Unarmed black woman. Well, she may have been armed, actually. There was a gun in the room. We don't know what the heck happened. But we do know that the neighbors saw two front doors open on the house, and it was 2:30 in the morning. Not normal for the neighbors. That he lived next to. So we called and said, can you guys check it out? They did. And unfortunately, they were walking the perimeter. The woman turns out to be the daughter of the homeowners. She was there, 28-year-old with her 8-year-old nephew. And as they walked around, they saw her. And she pulled the shades. And then all of a sudden, he shoots her. It was a horrible, horrible situation. Ron in California calling on that. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Chris. Hey, I just want to say you're doing a bang-up job for Eric and Gary.
Well, thank you. I really, really like the guys a lot. I admire them very much, and it's an honor to fill in for them.
Yeah, you're doing a good job filling in. Yeah, there's a lot of issues going on, in the country right now, but I wanted to comment on the police shooting in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
The way it looks is the officer, he jumped the gun too quick. That's the way it looks from the body cam and everything like that.
Right.
Now, having said that, we just had the woman police officer that was convicted in Dallas about a week ago.
Amber Geiger. Yes.
Yes, and I think on one side of it that we have to. We have to look at the atmosphere that officers have to work in these days. I mean, it's with all the police shootings, and I mean, I drive up and down California on a regular basis, and there's stories going on here in California that involving police officers getting shot just for pulling somebody over.
Yes,
that don't even make headlines. And I think it's just it's a lot of it's the atmosphere that the police are working in, and I'm not condoning anybody getting shot for no reason,
Right.
I'm not condoning that at all. But I think we have to look at the circumstances in each case and remember the atmosphere that these officers have to work in. And I blame the past administration for this terrible atmosphere that our law enforcement people face these days.
I blame the
last administration.
They did vilify law enforcement, and it was particularly appalling or pathetic for me to watch Barack Obama come to Dallas after the seven officers were killed a couple of years ago in downtown Dallas, and have him, you know, champion them when, you know, shortly before that he was saying, I don't want you guys to look militaristic. I don't want you to have tools to respond that look or are anywhere near remotely militaristic. While you guys are getting slaughtered, of course, though, from a guy shooting with military training and with a paramilitary-type weaponry. So, you know what? They do need to have stuff that is somewhat militaristic for when some terrorist at a Black Lives Matter rally shoots and kills them. Seven of them. That's what it's there for. It's also there for terrorists as well. And I'm sorry, it was five of our officers on July 7th is what I got a little backwards. But the point is, it's there. Here's a good example. The National Guard, you have the National Guard when there's a terrorist thing going on in a major city. No, it takes a day or two to call them up and to get them out there. The police are our first responders. They are the ones that are going to shoot and kill a terrorist who's trying to kill us. And they need to be able to defend themselves. You're right. The Barack Hussein Obama administration vilified law enforcement. You know what they did? They screwed us over, all of us, with the Michael Brown thing, for example. Boy, their own African American president with his own African American head of the Justice Department of Justice, could not find any fault in the officers' handling of the Michael Brown shooting. Because Michael Brown tried to kill him. That's why Michael Brown died. Michael Brown tried to kill him. Michael Brown was a thug. Michael Brown had so much THC in his system that he was hallucinating, according to the medical examiner and the results and the experts that looked at the medical examiner's report. Michael Brown committed a strong-arm robbery with his bare hands in his grandma's neighborhood that he claimed to care about. Michael Brown was not in college. He was going to HVAC school. He was too busy getting high to go. Michael Brown was a thug. And the Obama Justice Department played the game and lied to us and pretended like he wasn't a thug when he is, and he was when he was. And even they couldn't get anything on him, but yet they showed up and supported the whole thing and pretended, we love this wonderful thug who tried to kill the cop. We wish he would have killed the cop instead of him getting killed. You know what I mean? That kind of garbage. You're right. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. And that's it. You want to talk to Steve first? Okay, we'll talk to Steve in West Virginia. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Steve.
Okay, I just wanted to mention, anything to make Trump look bad. So ABC put on a video describing the Turkish invasions on the Kurds,
yes,
and killing them all. This invasion or conflict turned out to be a video. Somebody had it was a video on gun range in Turkey Knob, Tennessee or Kentucky or something like that. And they took that YouTube video and made it look like it was an invasion from Turkey into Kurdish territory.
So you're saying they intentionally took video to make it look like it was from Turkey?
Yes.
And it wasn't?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Where was this? I haven't seen this yet.
And it was just designed to make Trump look bad. And this was like in Turkey Knob, Kentucky or something. You can look it up on YouTube or Google it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's there.
Okay. No, I got you. We got that. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
They're doing everything they can to make Trump look bad.
Yes, they are.
And now they're pulling off of YouTube.
ABC's response was that it was a genuine mistake.
Oh, yeah.
They genuinely got caught is what happened.
Yes. Isn't that what they always do, though?
You know what? When you look at the... Thanks for your call, Steve, in West Virginia. One line opened at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. This is why Project Veritas released the CNN stuff. We got some more undercover video of that with they say Jeff Zucker, basically, the president of CNN, said one of the whistleblowers has a personal vendetta against Trump. It's not going to be positive for Trump. Zucker hates him. He's going to go be negative. The same person also told CNN, this is at Fox News covering this whole story. Same person told CNN, also said CNN employees, many of them want to err on the side of journalist integrity, journalistic integrity, but Big Boss Zucker, quote, effing tell you what to do. You have to, like, to a certain extent, you have to follow his verdict. He's had an ongoing feud with Trump. He's had an ongoing feud with Trump since The Apprentice. Another alleged employee, CNN employee, identified as a media coordinator, Christian Sierra, said that everyone at the network complains about the anti-Trump tone. They hate covering Trump all day. I know what it's like as a talk show host to have a boss who's a clown, who's always telling you what to do. You're no longer a talk show host with your opinion. You're like an actor doing whatever this idiot's trying to tell you what to do. So I can kind of relate to a journalist. I'm not a journalist, but, you know, being told, well, you got to do this, go after Trump. Trump, orange man bad. I believe it. Zucker has it out for him because of Apprentice and all this kind of stuff. We're going to continue. Your call, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. And I'll get a little more info on that ABC News video thing. And boy, I do want to go to town on the serious stuff because I'm still not happy with that, with the president about it. That's the one thing I'm not happy about. That is coming up next. This is Chris Kroc on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Sean in Minnesota, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good, thanks.
Hey, a couple of things. First, I'll start with your comments about Syria and pulling the troops out. You know, I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan. Nobody wants to be there. If I understand keeping the terrorists away from our country, but at the end of the day, do we really need to be in Syria?
Well,
my other question, or not question, but...
Well, okay, stand by, because here's the thing. I'll just speak to the Syria one. Yes, we do, and ISIS is going to reform if we don't, and that's General Mattis that says that. So, yeah, absolutely. Mattis and soldiers who are there as special forces told Jennifer Griffin the same thing, too. Across America, it's Chris Kroc in for Eric and Gary on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.